Someone's yelling, start the show already.
Tell them to shut their fucking pie hole real quick.
Oh.
We have people on in a chat room chatting right now waiting for us to go on. Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. We're going to start this damn thing. You guys ready?
We've been recording this whole time.
I'm recording now. All right, here we go.
Uh-huh, cool.
Hello and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog, Hit and Miss, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get in the top 10. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium. And subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or you suck.
Well, that's quite direct.
It's a new me. I'm trying out.
No more veiled threats or manipulative innuendos?
Nope.
It's quite refreshing.
I don't care what you think, pussy.
What the hell?
Like I said, a new me.
But
shut your cocksucker and run the mixing board, gaywad.
I'm mixing.
We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if your listener has ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, you woman-hating, Muhammad-loving cunt cake.
Piss me upon him.
We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Peter Boghossian and Steve Agee. You know these guys from Showbiz. Thanks for being here, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
We're underway. We got it going. We got started late. We're doing a special recording on a Sunday because Peter happened to be in town and available.
Did you say shut your cocksucker?
That's what she said. Shut your cocksucker. One of my best friends growing up was he's a comic, and his dad would say that all the time. He was one of those chain gang kind of guys. He'd run these guys who build the highways, you know?
Yeah.
And that was one of his friends. To hell, why are you flapping your goddamn cocksucker? It's like, God, that is...
Wow.
That's got so many layers of awful. I just think it's really funny.
He wrote it. I didn't. I'm just reading the shit.
I did write
it.
Shut your cocksucker.
Shut your cocksucker.
Run the mixing board. I'm mixing. Anyway, I've been wanting to get Steve on the show for a long time.
Yeah, we had a couple near shows.
Right. Near misses.
It almost happened.
Well, thanks for being here.
Yeah, they ended up being near misses. Thanks.
And you I helped connect you with a room down in San Diego for Comic-Con.
Right. And the two bastards that hooked me up are sitting right behind me.
Right behind you. So now you got stalkers there.
Right over my shoulder.
And one of them's in a wheelchair. He must be a cripple.
We have people who will come to watch the taping and will not sit in the wheelchair. They're afraid that sitting in the wheelchair is some sort of
curse.
It looks good on you.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You're going to look great in your...
when you're... Once you roll... 95.
Once you roll one of your cars. So, how is it that you could go to Comic-Con, Steve Agee? You know you're Steve Agee, right?
Yep.
And not have a fucking room.
Well, it happened very last week. As these guys know, with Comic-Con, you usually have to get your reservations, like a year in advance.
Really? Yeah.
And I had nothing, you know, I wasn't on a show and I had nothing to promote, so I wasn't planning on going down. And then like 2 days before, the people at Children's Hospital asked if I would... The show Children's Hospital, not that.
I was going to be really impressed.
I was like, "Oh!"
I was their Make-A-Wish kid. No, they asked if I'd go down and do their panel, and
but they didn't offer you a room.
No, there were no rooms. It's tough.
So you're like, "I'll do it, but I'll figure this out."
So how did you get him a room?
Well, you know, it's funny. It was just perfect timing. I had seen him tweet that he was looking for a room, Steve, and also at the same time. Oddly, at the same time, Aubrey
was
threw me a text and said, "I saw that Steve Agee's looking for a room. I have a room." Is that how it worked? Is that what happened?
Pretty much. He let me know, and I let you know.
Yeah. So I called Agee, and I was like, "I have a friend who's got a room down there," and he said, "Fucking, let's hook him up." So we hooked him up.
And they're like, "Just introduce us to April O'Neil."
That was
the
pretty
porn
cool,
star.
Right?
And I was like, "Yeah, I can do that."
And Brad, you got to meet April O'Neil. There you go. Very nice.
What an exchange.
That's a fair deal.
Yeah.
God damn. That's why all entertainers should have at least one porn star friend.
Yeah. The best thing I ever did was a benefit for the clinic that all the porn stars use to get tested.
Right.
They asked me, and I met a bunch of porn stars at that benefit. And
yeah.
Did you get any dates out of it?
No, no. No, but I got a room at Comic-Con out of it.
Sometimes it's about the long game, Peter.
Yep. Yeah.
So, Peter, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
I always like having you on the show, and I'm a huge fan of your book.
Thanks. I appreciate that. And thanks to Aubrey for coming, and Greg for putting me up, and Steve for dealing with me. And thanks to Cherry.
Cherry is actually running our video switching today.
Yes.
Because Sam, who normally runs it, Samantha Kramer, is out of town. My daughter is rehearsing for the lead role in... why am I forgetting the name of the...
Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Someone else knows better.
Wow, that's impressive.
And Thoroughly Modern Holy Millie shit. Out in Sherman Oaks. And she was...
Bad dad.
I am bad dad. Do you follow the tweet? The Vine?
Are they having auditions during the Oscars?
Are they? No, like right now? It's not an audition. It's a rehearsal. Did I say audition?
Oh, rehearsal. I think you said audition, right?
I don't know what I said. I don't know.
Maybe I'm just high.
No, you're not high enough. Steve walks into the house, looks at the hookah, and he's like, oh, this is great. And I'm like, tobacco. Oh, whatever.
I was like,
oh,
great.
So, Peter, I want to talk about your book.
Okay.
Last time we had you on the show, of course, we talked about your book then. We're talking about a manual for...
Yeah, go ahead.
A manual for creating atheists. Were you checking me?
Yeah, I was going to say, what was the name of that book?
A manual for creating atheists by Peter Boghossian. Is that the right enunciation of your name?
Yeah, Boghossian.
Yeah? Is that what you say?
I
like Boghossian, but...
So when I was in seventh grade, I had a campaign platform. Vote for Boghossian, and there'd be an explosion. I really did. That's. We'll tell you how much times have changed. Boghossian and explosion rhyme.
Yeah,
That's how you get people to pronounce your name right.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. Yeah. They say, "How do you pronounce that?" And I say, "Well, it rhymes with explosion." And then everybody gets it right away.
Did you win that election?
I came in last place, dead last.
Really?
Yeah.
There was no explosion.
No. That's why they should have voted for me.
Yeah, exactly.
A few days off from school.
If someone ran that campaign in a school today, they'd be arrested.
Yeah.
And unless they could convince them they were talking about like a load of jizz.
Yeah.
That would be one of the
You should have said vote for You should have said vote for Boghossian or there will be an explosion.
Yeah.
And that would be a threat. That's not even a veiled threat, that's a direct threat.
A straight up threat. Right.
Yes. Right. And then we would
put
not
a picture
have
of Muhammad right. up on right. the poster.
So I'm sorry you didn't win the election.
That's okay. I'm over it.
Yeah.
I'm you're not pining anymore?
No, it didn't pay. Thankless job. Yeah.
The book is really great. I really like the sentiment. I like the idea. And it's not just a book about atheism. It's a workbook. It's a book that tells you how to move your friends, your family, and even strangers away from the awful idea that is religion. Am I accurate there?
Yeah, except for one word, faith.
Yeah.
So it's a book about how to talk people out of faith and into reason. So if you know someone who suffers from faith, you can engage them in conversations. And
I like that. Suffers from faith.
Well, that's what it is. Yeah. I'm just being blunt. I'm not mincing words. Yeah, that's what it is. They suffer. They have a previous, as of yet, uncognified cognitive disorder. Yeah. So we need to help move them away from faith and toward reason. And
science.
Science, bitch!
Well, yeah, not just science, but understanding, and Greg and I talked about this, understanding why you should value science. So it's not just about giving people tools, they have to value those things. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
And if people don't have those values, then it doesn't do any good. So it really is a kind of a workbook with somewhat of a field guide. You go through questions and answers and then someone of faith, and then you help disabuse them of that.
Right, right.
When someone doesn't believe in science, I usually tell them to take off their clothes, get rid of their car, get rid of the computer, go live out in the desert somewhere and see if God will help them.
Right.
Because science rules everything around us.
Yeah, I love this idea that's so prevalent now that if something is natural, it's good for you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're wearing glasses. I mean, nobody really. It's kind of this weird verbal behavior that people have. Oh, it's natural. It's good. Oh, that's just ridiculous.
Nothing's natural.
Snake venom is natural.
Cancer's natural.
Snake venom, uranium. I mean, what?
Fisting is natural.
No.
Well, I wasn't going to go there.
It is.
I wasn't going to go there, but
sorry.
For you, maybe not for many people.
Go on, I interrupted you.
No, but I mean, people were dying. You know, I'm 47. That's not natural.
Right.
That if you look at the lifespans and the curves, so you know what you don't. The dentist is not natural.
Yeah.
You have dental pain. That's so. This whole idea, and it's just kind of this like hippie granola idea too. That oh, you know, we want natural things, etc. So again, if people can have really bizarre ideas, God is a conclusion that one comes to if they have a way of thinking about the world that won't align their beliefs with reality. So it's not just about God; it's about anything.
Right. We haven't asked yet. We always ask our guests, where do you stand on the religious faith?
I'm all science, baby.
You're all science.
Yeah. I was, raised Christian, went to Christian schools.
Whereabouts?
Here in Southern California.
Okay.
I was raised Seventh-day Adventist.
Oh, no.
Basically
that's
like
an
offshoot of the Protestant faith. Yes. And I just remember just at a young age still being like, these just seem like weird stories, you know? Yeah. And it's weird for me, people who are religious, who are just religious because they were born into it. And it's like your parents just saying, you know, every Sunday, we're going to church because Jesus wants us to. And you're like, all right.
How capricious would that make God?
Yeah.
That wherever you're born on the planet, that happens to be the truth. Or that happens to God is kind of segmented off. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. Dawkins talks about how it's all about geography.
Yeah. How did you escape that, by the way?
Yeah, that's a tough one to get out of.
I just...
the parents weren't too hardened?
Just when I, you know, became a teenager, I just kind of... There's also that, you know, period of when you're young, all your friends are at church, so you go in to fuck around with your friends, so it wasn't that big a deal to me, but... Yeah, once I got to college, I just stopped going.
And the parents didn't give you any trouble?
No, not really. Man.
Were they upset when they saw you on Silverman and found out you're gay?
No, but when I told them I was playing a gay guy on that show, that I felt like I was coming out for...
Really?
I was like, oh my God. As I started to tell them, I was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm... conservative parents are going to be like, no son of mine is going to act gay on... on TV. But they were like, you're getting paid, right? And I'm like, they're like, have at it.
Cool. Well, there's a note for gay people who want to come out to their parents. Just tell them that they do it for money.
Hey, well,
there you go.
Yeah. I don't know if that
would
be helpful.
You were talking about church and being with your friends. When I was going to church, man, my best friends were at church, and we got in the most trouble, more so than my friends who I didn't go to church with.
Sure.
My best friend who I didn't go to church with, we were just the nicest, coolest, you know, caring people. But I would get mixed up with the church kids, and boy, I'd get in trouble, in big trouble.
There's also a weird thing I noticed with kids I went to you know, private Christian school with who rebelled, who were rebellious with me, who were drinking and, like, listening to rock music and going, fuck church. And then, I was like, yeah, these people, they get it. And then you don't talk to them for years, and then Facebook's invented, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to see what so-and-so's up to.
Right.
It's like they're right where their parents were.
That's exactly right.
They kind of get to an age where they're like,
So,
I don't know.
So that's the thing. So how do we help people? So it really is about helping people. How do we help move people away from that?
Right.
And how do we, in aggregate, diminish the force of religion? So, I mean, we can all sit around and piss and moan about it all we want.
Well, you have, I mean, you actually go to
churches. Yeah.
Right, Peter?
I do. Churches, mosques, temples, synagogues. I love it.
And you meet them as they're coming out, and you engage them.
I do. Well, I go into the service first so they know me, and then I do some rapport building, and I try to get some people's phone numbers, and then when they...
Wow.
Yeah. Then when they come out, I help begin their process of deconversion.
Has anyone given you problems, like...
Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, no, never.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought when he told the story.
Yeah.
You would think that they would be really, the people running the church would be onto you, would get aggressive, tell you to get the hell away from their sheep.
No,
they are shepherds.
No, what you would think would happen is they would welcome it as an opportunity to bring me to Christ or whatever their particular delusion happens to be.
Has that ever happened?
No. nobody knows. I mean, I go sufficiently far away from Portland that no one knows me.
Right.
So,
Well, that's cool. How often do you do this? And yeah, how often do you
Well, I do deconversions, or I help people begin that process. I do that every day. Maybe I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this. You're like, well, this guy's a total fanatic. I do that pretty much every waking moment.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, from the moment I wake up, and then, so the new thing that I've started doing, so I'm going to go on tour in March. I think I have like 14 talks in 10 days or 12 days or something. And the new thing
you got to have it not be 12. No 12s, no 7s. You got to stay from all biblical numbers. That's my advice.
Well, no, I don't even give it that much credence. I just ignore the whole thing.
666.
Yeah, 666 dates. That's what you got to do.
Yeah. No, I just we're all better off if we just ignore it.
I hear you.
But what I do is my new thing that I've been trying to do now, and you can see this in the talk I gave at Abbotsford, rather than me delivering an intervention to somebody of faith, I thought, well, I can teach people who read the book how to deliver interventions. And so I can start something where we're constantly going out in the street, going out and finding people of faith and helping them. But then I thought, wow, you know, YouTube is an amazing model for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love to encourage Christians to come to my Q&As. And what I've been doing recently is one of two things. I've been trying to deconvert the whole audience. Of superstition in general, and I also call up people of faith on stage with me,
yeah.
And we have some amazing footage of these templates of deconversions that we do on stage in front of, and then they're no stooges, they're no actors, everybody's real, no, it's totally genuine.
Wow, do you use snakes?
No,
because that might be a way to go. You might try to use the snakes. That seems to work for some. We should talk about that guy that died recently.
Yeah,
that's the break music. We're doing a break. You all right?
Yeah. It's like you guys hear music too, right?
You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available in the iTunes store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album, Chaos Radio. So we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery Emery. That's G-U-M as in... Munster cheese.
What?
ROAD.com/EmeryEmery and buy this stupid thing.
Interesting fact, your mouth uses 75 muscles when you speak.
So that's why you have a Popeye jaw.
Why, yeah, you oughta.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Peter Boghossian.
Yay.
Like explosion. And Steve Agee.
Peter.
Like algae.
Like
no.
Explosion.
Like Peter, explosion.
I have a question for you.
Any question.
Are you the atheist messiah?
Have
you returned?
No. You know, and that's the thing we need to get away from in the movement. We need to get away from the cult of personality. We need to get away from the idea of any kind of hero worship. And we need to talk about strategies that matter.
I don't think we're ever going to get away from, in any way, the cult of personality, especially if you want to have an effective approach to anything. When you're talking about using media, yeah. whether it be social media or television or film, it doesn't matter. If you don't have cult of personality, you're probably not connecting well with many, many people.
Well, I think it has to be more than a movement. It has to be something that people just do. It has to be values that we hold. And I think it has to be more than, it can't be about Dawkins or it can't be about the Four Horsemen, because once you make it about somebody, then if that person dies or something happens, someone's caught in a scandal or something, I think it's a problem. And I think what we're trying to do is extremely important, and it's more than about one person, and it's more than about a movement.
Well, my response to that is I think it's about as many people as are getting involved. And whether you like it or not, you are a personality already. People know you. People appreciate you. People are behind you. People support you in the exact same way that people feel strongly about the work of Dawkins, Hitchens, Sam Harris. The list goes on. I just don't see a problem with them. I disagree with you on this one.
Yeah, and that's fine.
I don't even know any of those names. That
there you go. There you go. You don't know Christopher Hitchens?
I'm very ignorant.
Hey, no, you're not.
I just, honestly, when I just...
You're unaware kind of them.
When I became a teenager, I was like, I don't believe in this stuff. I'm going to go...
And by the way, this is what I wish the world were.
I was just going to say that. The fact that he said, I don't know who those people are. Like, that's the value that we need to cultivate.
We need to cultivate. So in that sense, Peter, I agree with the sentiment in that sense. Yeah. I wish that the world were filled with Steve Agees. Yeah. And
look at that.
So do I. High five all of them.
And nobody gave a shit about religion, and nobody cared that Hitchens needed to get out there. That Hitchens didn't need to devote his life to communicating these ideas to people, that we didn't need to have debates between Bill Nye and a retard. I mean, that is the world.
I did watch that.
You watched it, right?
Crazy. Dude.
Right?
Bill Nye, the new Hitchens? What do you think? Yeah.
The new Hitchens? Bill Nye. I don't think Bill Nye's the new Hitchens.
He's starting to debate people.
And let me tell you something about Bill Nye. Last night, he was at the party I was at up at Shermer's, another name you probably don't know. He runs Skeptic Magazine.
Okay.
Shermer does, and there was a fundraiser going on. And Nye was up there, and we were all after him. We were all saying, talk more. Tell us more about it. We want to know more.
Yeah.
And he told us some amazing things. But one of the things that... that I thought was really cool is even Bill Nye, he said what you just said, Steve. I said, I'd like to see more debates. And I told him, I said, I'm not talking shit about what you did. What you did was epic, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. I thought it was a good choice, everything about it. I would like to see some debates that are actually arguments, the kind of debates that you saw when Hitchens and Fry got across from that guy from Africa and that lady from London. Oh, that just
the Catholic.
The Catholic team. Yeah. And
was
there was
this a debate?
It was meant as a debate.
I want to see that.
I'm going to turn you on to Hitchens. You'll enjoy at least Hitchens.
The missionary position. If that's what I Mother Teresa isn't the woman.
Do you know the book?
You were raised to think that she was.
No.
Hitchens wrote a book called The Missionary Position, and he exposes the lie that is
Mother Teresa.
Wow. and the Catholic Church's claim to this pious, amazing goal of doing good in the world. It's bullshit, and he exposes it, and it's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's also a good position. So it gets boring after a while, I guess I should say.
No, not for me.
I wasn't talking directly to you.
But you looked at me.
I did. I looked at you.
You looked right at
me. Well, I didn't want people to think I was hitting on Steve. I was trying to put my eyes.
You're the one with the fisting.
I want to talk too about the idea. I've had someone sitting right there in that chair, say to me, Emery, with this show that you're doing, what do you? And it was derisive. It was Marin. Marin was going, Why do you want to? Does it make you happy to peel people's beliefs away from them? Is that really what you want to do?
Why you want to be a jerk?
Yeah, he was talking like that, and I told him I that's not what I do. First of all, he misunderstood what we do with this show. This show certainly invites you into a community of people who doesn't believe. It doesn't in any way try to proselytize non-belief at you.
Not to correct the mission of your show, but not who don't believe, but who don't formulate their beliefs on the basis of insufficient evidence.
There you go.
Yeah,
all right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what you've made a career of. I do dick jokes. But here's the thing. I explained to him that's not my goal. It's not our mission statement to put on a show that converts people. But then when you came along and you brazenly say, yeah, we want to convert. I want to convert people, and I want to teach people how to deconvert. How to deconvert people. I'm for that. I think it's great. There's a positive aspect to that as opposed to negative, right? And there are people in our community that are opposed to it too, I presume.
Yeah, well, I was just talking to Greg about that today.
We're talking about Greg Steichlitter, who happens to be sitting back here. I don't know if he's in camera view, but he's a fan of the show and a good friend, and he hangs out and lives in L.A.
He's on the Dawkins Foundation, too.
On the Dawkins Foundation, all right.
So the only way that you can really have hope is if you assign your beliefs a confidence value that's in proportion to the evidence. Because if you do that, then you can construct things outside yourself to help further your well-being.
Right.
But if you believe on the basis of insufficient evidence, then you'll act on that, and you think you'll be taking yourself towards the good, but you won't be, and your friends and your community and your life. So nobody converts anybody or deconverts people. People should be able to convert themselves. I think that's a misnomer. The other thing is, I think it's about education. I mean, if somebody holds a wacky, bizarre belief, talking snakes, people flying to heaven on a winged horse, and you help them to see that those beliefs aren't warranted, that's helping somebody. That's not you're not converting someone. You're also not converting somebody to help them realize that belief revision is a value. And that gets back to our conversation before. What should you value? It's not enough that you value science education. You have to value, exactly what you just said. So we have a conversation. You said, I don't know. And everybody else makes it no shame that you don't know.
Sure.
And we continue that conversation. And then that's fruitful because then he recommends books. We carry forth in a tradition of respect. But we have entire communities now where people are pretending to know things they don't know,
mm-hmm.
and they have made a virtue. They have made a virtue of pretending.
Right.
And so that's one of the layers. They come from these encrusted places, and I'm not going to – it's not Pollyanna. I'm not going to whitewash you. This is complicated stuff to help these people. But that's what it's actually about. And so people in the atheist community, if they say things like, let people have their beliefs, let people should be able to believe, well – no. part of the problem with that is that people vote and we live in a democracy and they raise their children like that. And Dawkins and others have been clear that those things are very abusive. And
I do. Yeah, I do have a problem with people voting on
based
religious
on their beliefs. Yeah.
When people say, why do you give a shit? I always say the same thing. Gay rights. And then I start listing everything. Sure. Stem cell research, science in the classroom being turned into fucking religion through intelligent design. And frankly, the list goes on at least another five or six long.
People are still being
in current day.
Okay, so here is a way to think to conceptualize that problem. A way to conceptualize that every single thing you just said is a conclusion. It's a conclusion that an inquirer will come to if they have a way of knowing reality which is misaligned with reality. If they don't have a corrective mechanism or a way to independently, not to geek out on everybody, but independently adjudicate those things they believe. So how do we help people to use processes of reasoning so they won't have absurd conclusions? And for your friend, if the idea is that, well, we shouldn't help people, they should just walk around with absurd conclusions, he doesn't – I think that's verbal behavior. Yeah. I don't think he actually believes
that. Let me
be
clear. That's not my friend. A dickhead online.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm. I get letters every other – I was going to say every other day, but every once in a while where people ask me the same questions, why are you – why do you just hate Christians? Do you hate people that believe in God? Why are you constantly making fun of? And I'm not making fun of people. I'm making fun of the beliefs, and I'm trying to.
I'm making fun of people.
Yes, you're.
That won't work though.
I know.
Yeah.
and And I just got to have a long letter I have to answer, which I've been putting aside because I have to go through the whole rigmarole of, well, the reason why I talk about this is because it's bad for, you know, the world, for people to go around thinking that we have talking snakes and that we have, you know, you should be stoning virgins or something. They're not even going to follow the whole Bible. Go ahead.
Let's talk about ridicule, though. Yeah. I think it does work in a different way. You're looking at trying to affect people individually.
Yeah, okay, so...
I'm talking about the zeitgeist.
I want to be crystal clear about that. You're right, and we... Colbert and comedy and the Bill Maher show. That's not who I am. That's not what I'm about. Right. That's not what I advocate. I'm talking about one-on-one interactions with people. It's never okay to ridicule people.
Yeah, now, I think...
I'm not saying we ought not to satire religion or religious processes or... But I'm talking about in personal engagements that we have with people.
Well, we frequent a wall called facts versus faith.
And Heather's on Facebook.
Heather's going to look for something I said recently to the gentleman. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Charles?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, I do ridicule in these environments sometimes, and the reason that I ridicule is because I think that ridicule. In the broad sense, ridiculing bad ideas communicates to other people just how indefensible these bad ideas are, and it makes them stop, those who are observing this ridicule, it makes them stop. And I'll give you an example. One of the most powerful tools that we comedians have on stage, when some drunken jagoff or bitch or asshole or cunt starts yelling out in the middle of your show, is ridicule. And when you take that ridicule and you get the audience to take part in this awful, awful, theoretically awful group in-grouping ridicule and turn it against the one person who's, in my view, completely stealing a really good show from all these other people, that's effective. Not just on closing down that person sometimes, not always, sometimes they have to be ejected, but it certainly communicates to everybody else who's had a little bit too much to drink in that room, you're next if you fucking do this, that guy's not going to take your shit, you're going to be ejected and you're going to be embarrassed if you fuck up this show. That's another example of how ridicule actually works in a group setting, you know what I mean? And I think that these kinds of scenarios... where people are chatting on these walls, I think they actually have an effect. I think that other people see that these are indefensible claims from the faithful, and that you're going to be ridiculed if you try to make them.
Okay, so that's why I'm not sure that analogy exactly works, because sometimes people would like that attention or have you, but that's why we need a mix of strategies to help fight the faith virus. I mean, we need a mix of things that people bring to the table, and so... Hopefully, I personally think it's important to bring more civility into the discourse so people don't invoke their defensive
posture. Yeah,
well, fuck you. well, wait a second. But if you're talking about people changing their beliefs.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, even when he said that to me, I felt defensive posture.
I know, right?
Like, you know, so when you're talking about this in a one-on-one, and here's the other thing. So if when I do these things, I'll go around and give talks or have you. A lot of Christians come and they ask... talks. They ask questions at these talks. Right. And I'm telling you in no uncertain terms, the way to deal, and maybe it's contextual. People go to a comedy club for a different reason than they go to see one of my talks.
Right.
I'm telling you in no uncertain terms, if I were to sit there and ridicule that person, that would deepen their delusions. Mm. I would have done them a disservice. And I would have done myself a disservice. I would have been unjust towards them because that was an opportunity for me to help liberate them of a delusion. And what did I do? I perhaps deepen them or their friends, and then they think, oh, Boghossian, what a jerk. You know, or look at these atheists. That's the narrative that the faithful have tried so hard to portray. Look, they're angry. They're mad. Why are these people so... No, I'm not angry.
Right.
I want to help you. You're not well.
Well, sometimes we are angry.
No, it's true. They're not well. They
really aren't.
They're not well. We need to help them, and we need to show them pity.
Right.
Emery, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find your thing.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
We talk a lot in
this
chat room.
Yeah, we do talk a lot in that chat room.
What chat room is that?
It's called Facts versus Faith. It's a closed group on Facebook, but it's filled mostly with atheists, but there are a few religious people in there who all have a different belief system. All of them say things differently. One person will say that, you know, God doesn't want you to talk to heathens, so I'm not going to debate with you. I don't debate. And then another person will say, well, God says spread the fruits, and, you know, I mean, it's just totally different. Each person is totally... Yeah,
that whole debate thing is right, and I advocate not making it into debate. And I think the spread, I think that's 1 Peter 3:15, and that idea is that if someone comes to you with a question, speak gently to them in terms of response. And there are certain pockets within... I mean, we use the word Christian as if it's this blanket term, but, you know, you talked about Seventh-day Adventists.
Right.
It's not.
Yeah.
One person on this chat room in this group believes that God never killed anyone in the Bible. And then I ask about Noah's Ark, and then I post a question to other people in the room, and then other Christians are like, oh, yeah, God killed everybody off the earth because they were sinning. So the beliefs are just... all over the
and at the end of the day, that guy's argument just came down to semantics. He said, no, you can't show me in the Bible where it says God killed people. And then you realize after 10, 15, 20 postings of examples of where God killed people, he's actually saying the words don't
never
say God. It
does
say, yeah.
It says the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. It's God versus the Lord, not to mention kill. It doesn't say God killed.
So, okay. So if I may, from the book.
Go.
The mistake that was made, again, I don't mean to be presumptuous and say this.
Was talking to these guys?
No, that's not the mistake. The mistake that was made is the presupposition that they were rational agents and that they formed their belief on the base of evidence.
Right.
And so many intelligent, smart, educated, rational people make this mistake. People who are in this, in the book I call it pre-contemplative stage, they don't formulate their beliefs on the basis of facts and evidence, you cannot and should not give them any facts or evidence. You have to use other skills and tools verbally, and I don't do it in writing personally, but in terms of Facebook or anything. But you have to use other tools, and you cannot talk about... See, that's the other thing. It's you just can't enter into that game. You can't start talking about exegesis. You can't start... It lends itself to a host of other problems that reinforce the delusions that these people already have in the first place.
So the focus is to stay on the systemic issue, and that is talk about the meanings that we're talking about, like the meaning of evidence and these kinds of discussions. Is that what you're talking about?
A little bit.
How do we boil it down to the simple?
I mean, a little bit. You have to figure out what... First, you have to make some kind of assessment. You have to figure out what people believe. You have to figure out... How deeply entrenched in these beliefs they are. And to a certain extent, you have to find out what they value.
Yeah.
And once you have these basic components, then you can begin the intervention to help disabuse them of silliness.
It's an amazing sentence.
Silliness.
Isn't that a great sentence?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and there's some pretty radical silliness, like the Book of Mormon or wonderful thing we
have
saw.
Have you seen the Book of Mormon?
No, I really
I haven't
to.
Either.
I've actually read the Book of Mormon.
No,
nice. True, I have, actually.
I'm sure you have. Yeah. I've read the Holy Bible and the New and the Old Testament. I've read parts of the Quran and I've read some of the Bhagavad Gita, but I've not touched...
The Gita is a whole different... So I have
I don't even know. What is that?
The Bhagavad Gita is... I have one in the other room. We should pull it in here at the break. It's first of all, James Inman, the guy I was asking you about, he quotes the shit out of that. He's a comic friend of mine, and he actually considers himself to be he thinks of himself honestly as a Buddhist monk. You know what I mean?
Oh gosh.
It's an Eastern. It's basically an Eastern philosophy turned religion, is what it is. But
yeah, I was gonna say. So I've started. I have a tutor. I study the Quran now. And that's study the Quran might be too strong, but I have a tutor and I read it every day, and it's really it's not, you know, the Bible is just stuff coming out all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
The Quran is much, I think it's much more straightforward. That's why I'm hesitant to say study the Quran, but I think again once you start talking about these religious books or quoting the surahs or the verses, I think that's playing that game. That's entering in. Look, it'd be like this. We're having a conversation about something. We're having a conversation about Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And then he says to me something, oh, well, what about this? You know, you're overlooking this. And I say, well, no, it's in this episode and this episode and this episode. And both of us are talking about this, but that makes it impossible to get outside that and say, look, you're thinking about this the wrong way. People don't fly around in starships. They don't beam.
Yeah.
And the right? And that's part of the problem. Part of the problem is...
It's nice not working.
Nice try.
Yeah. So that's part of the problem is that you can never get to that discourse if everybody's talking about Star Trek and no one's talking about the fact that people actually freaking
sci-fi.
Beam around.
Right.
Right.
And fly around a warp-capable starship. So it's a way to avoid a more... It's a way to obfuscate. It's a way to avoid the more substantive issue of what you're talking about.
Why do you want to rob people of their enjoyment of Star Trek? I just don't understand that. It's just
would never want to do that.
All right, well, we'll take a break. We'll get back right after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available to the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
That's right, good news indeed. We have a premium ad-free service. We already give you the free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option. That's the pay more if you want button. If you want to give us more money, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy. So be generous. Support the show if you can afford it. Please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. All religious people agree 9 out of 10 gods are false.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
Did you see that UFO sighting that made the news? What did that latest study about alternative treatments really say? Is this photo making the rounds real or a hoax? Doubtful News is a unique website featuring news about pseudoscience, the paranormal, anomalies, and questionable claims framed with a skeptical view. Come visit DoubtfulNews.com every day for news about cryptozoology, conspiracies, shams, scams, and more. Follow us on Twitter at Doubtful News. Critical thinking is essential in assessing today's news. Doubtful News helps you decide, can you really believe this stuff?
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Peter Boghossian and Steve Agee. Thank you so much, guys, for being here.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah. Now, I think you and I kind of finished what we were doing. I want to move us forward a little bit in the show here because there's a couple of movies that are coming out.
Yeah.
There are?
Yeah. They're kind of
There's kind always of, a couple movies.
One's yeah, already well, out.
One's okay. out already. Is the which one's out?
The Jesus one.
The Jesus one?
Yeah.
Well, we'll finish up with the Jesus one.
What's the name of it?
Son of God.
Yeah, I don't
oh,
know.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Well, I'm gonna
He's like, I don't know.
I'm gonna cue one up right now. We're gonna watch a trailer here for a movie that's coming out. Here it is.
Russell Crowe.
Yeah, Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
No. What did he say?
He's going to destroy the world.
Oh, it's Noah?
Noah.
In a world.
Man corrupted
yep.
this world.
Where he destroys the world.
Filled it with violence. So we must be destroyed.
A great flood is coming. We build a vessel to hold the innocent.
Mother! What is... Them!
What do you want?
Did you really think you could protect yourself from me in that?
It's not protection from you.
I have men at my back. And you stand alone and defy me. I'm not alone. When they come.
Darren Aronofsky.
They will be desperate and there will be many.
Snakes are coming too?
All that crawls, all that slithers.
This remember, is dangerous
Noah,
propaganda.
He chose you for a reason.
Yeah. Apparently it came in geysers. So if you want to know what we were just watching and you're listening to the show, it was Noah's trailer, the trailer to Noah. And it's Russell Crowe apparently is going to save his family and one of every, or two of every animal,
Matthew,
which is not true, actually.
Matthew on the wall says, if I can watch Hercules and Thor, why not Noah?
There you go.
That's well, my I'll thought, is that. It looks like a Lord of the Rings.
It does.
Movie.
It does look like Lord of the Rings.
No one thinks that Mordor is an actual place. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I see things like this, and they're vehicles of propaganda, and we need to counter those. That's what we talked about before. It's like a theme, like the values. Like, that's a value. Oh, I am not alone. I have many people share my delusions.
Right. That was the sentence that hit me. I mean, this movie and the Jesus movie that's coming out.
That's already out.
The Jesus.
Oh, it's already
movie.
Out. Yeah, we actually have a movie.
The Jesus.
Oh, it's
movie.
Good.
Do we know
oh,
the name of it?
Good.
It's called Son of God, I believe.
Yeah, you gotta play that trailer. I mean, you gotta.
I haven't seen it. Yeah. It's,
all right. Well, we'll queue up that guy and we'll check it out right now.
Hit play.
I hit play.
Okay.
Hit it again.
Here it is.
Oh, it's Noah
help?
Again.
No, that's a different boat.
What are you doing?
Going fishing.
I'm telling you, there's no fish out there.
Come on.
How did this happen? Come with me.
Special effects.
What are we gonna do?
That's how it happened.
Your sins are forgiven, my son.
I thought only God could do that.
Which is easier, to say his sins are forgiven, or say he get up and walk?
I've had reports of a young prophet of Nazareth. It's rumored he works miracles.
They all do.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Pray to him, and he will listen.
5,000 came to see him. 5,000.
If you hunger for righteousness, will be filled through me.
Who knows what Pilate will do if the crowds run out of control?
That man,
Judas,
he wants to help us.
I will crush any rebellion.
Save us from the Romans, Lord.
There is something unusual about him.
Yeah, he's white.
We must arrest this false prophet. But what if he is who they say he is?
Won't somebody tell me?
Peter, come.
Answer if you can.
Don't do it,
one
Peter!
Of you here will betray me to my enemies.
I want someone.
Was it me, Jesus? Was it me?
What is the soul of a man?
Jesus of Nazareth,
you are charged with blasphemy.
He has employed demons to heal. He threatened to destroy the temple.
Tell us, are you the Son of God? I am.
Didn't Mel Gibson already make this movie?
Yeah.
So did Scorsese.
I mean,
everyone's made it.
We've heard the story.
And you hate this, don't you? Peter?
I'm really bothered by that, yeah. I'm bothered by that because that one of the consequences of that is going to deepen the idea that people ought to have faith and they ought to. Yeah, I'm really bothered by that actually.
Yeah.
I'm actually disturbed after seeing that.
Really?
Yeah.
I have faith in humanity and I am really I am really encouraged by how significantly we've moved forward in not just atheism, but in the critical thinking process. I think we're growing really well as a society. I'm talking about the United States in particular right now. I think that this is one of the reasons that that's happening.
Man, I wouldn't have known without Facebook and the computer, I wouldn't have known that there were so many black atheists. And even in this group that I'm talking about, Facts Versus Faith, there's a large percentage of black atheists in this group alone. And I'm just shocked because I'm surrounded by white people most of the time. Do you know what I mean? And so I would have never known that there were that many black people who didn't believe in God.
You complaining about my friends?
No, I'm complaining about you.
So I think we're moving in the right direction. And I think movies like this, to most people, or many people, not most, but many people, seem to be movies about psychos. They seem to be movies about people who are... really, these two characters are no different than the average jagoff down at the corner. Screen, you know what I'm talking about?
I think it's funny because a lot of these movies based on stories from the Bible tend to piss off Christians a lot more. You know, like the Mel Gibson one really fucking pissed off Christians, and so did the Scorsese one.
Yeah.
It's like blasphemy almost for them to see this movie idea of what it is.
Or maybe it's that they're really confronting, and I don't say this flippantly, these homoerotic desires that they have.
Well, Jesus is gorgeous, I'll just have to say.
I caught myself before I said something really inappropriate.
No, we want to hear that inappropriate.
Yeah, I want to know what you were going to say.
What were you going to say?
Well, I mean, just the whole Catholic Church and the pomp and circumstance and the slippers and the costume. I mean, it's just so obvious to me that the largest rape machine the world has ever seen, the largest child rape machine. No, it really is. It's a sickness. It's a malignancy on us, and it's just so incredibly homosexual. And the whole thing about, you know, this guy going down and people whipping this guy, it just strikes me as incredibly.
Erotic.
Homoerotic.
Well, it's not erotic to me, but I can understand that. I think that, and we know this, actually, this is a fact, we know that people who are more homophobic, we can test this, the test will hypothesis.
I'm hobophobic.
Hobophobic. Well, those hobos.
You just
hobo
coined
sign.
A new phrase, my friend. It's really nice.
People who are...
a huddle of homophobes.
I heard in South Park the other day, it was someone said a metrosexual phobic.
Nice.
But the people who have these sorts of homophobia tend to go into religion, and I can see that this might arouse some of those homosexual desires in them.
Mm.
I guess that makes sense. I don't understand completely. In fact, I have questions that you might be able to answer about the Catholic problem,
So back to that, you know, I can truly from the bottom of my heart tell you the total amount of time I spend thinking about the homosexual acts between two men is about 0.1 seconds every 15 years. These people are obsessed with this. They're obsessed with gays.
They are absolutely
fixated on homosexuals.
Yes, yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
In this group, that's all they talk about.
She just said this the other day. They're obsessed with the
blood and fags.
Yeah, blood and fags. That's all they talk about.
Which group?
This Facebook thing that we talk about, fact versus fiction. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're not going to do ads. We're just going to thank those who were on the wall last week. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners: Finn, Nicholas, Richard, Zach, Jake and RJ, holy crap, it's Dan, Adun, Carl Barrett, Herbie Reagan, Snake Oil, Kyle Delaney, James the Boner.
What? He called himself James the Boner.
Emery's Balls.
Someone called themselves Emery's Balls?
Cameron Winter
you
and
You can't
Joe
name
Slam.
Yourself my balls. My balls were not on the wall last week.
These were some of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
God damn my balls. And now back to ardent atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Peter Boghossian and Steve Agee.
The best part about the wall is you can put in whatever name you want to put in.
Like Emery's balls.
Yeah. Emery's balls.
So,
are my balls in this week?
No, but we have FC Stains. I don't know what that is. And we had another one that was really, really funny. Yeah.
Human,
and there's like a hashtag with a bunch of
human
numbers.
Number 609-384-738-678.
How do you feel that someone named themselves after your balls?
I'll be honest with you. I'm flattered. Really? My balls don't get enough attention.
James the oh fuck it is on the wall.
That's all there is to it. There's an oh fuck it there right now?
James the .. oh fuck it is on the wall.
That's funny.
I do love that people can make up their own name. It says a lot about them and my balls.
No.
I like it. I don't have any problems with it. Peter, one of the things... What is it? What'd you find?
Kyle, dark void where Emery's balls should be. And Kyle
That's
Delaney
name?
Says,
obviously, yeah. You can change the name once you want to.
Kyle Delaney says, Emery, your balls are not a host or a listener, so it's not against the rules to impersonate them.
You're right. You can do what you want. We have no rules. Peter, do you know anything about, or do you have any opinion about, one of the problems from the religious perspective or the faith perspective is that. They like to conflate homosexuality with pedophilia.
Yeah.
And I've always thought they just don't go hand in hand. They don't belong.
They don't.
Yeah. And one of the reasons, one of the things that really makes me a little crazy is how so often you see these priests who I presume are gay are also, that was me, I'm sorry, everybody.
Damn it!
Are also acting... out against kids. They're pedophilic behavior.
Well, even in that sense...
Can you talk about this?
Well, I mean, this is outside my area, but even in that sense, we can't mix the word homosexual in with pedophile.
Okay.
So we need to... Heather's looking horrified.
Because someone just called themselves Heather's sex toy on the
wall. Okay, we're moving on from the wall. Fuck the wall. Goddamn balls.
It says, help me, I've become self-aware.
So pedophilia, that's right there is the problem. You get right to the root of it, Peter. That's what I like about you. The idea that this behavior with boys, it's not homosexuality. It is pedophilia.
Yeah, that's I think we need to be more careful about the terms we use because those ways of articulating ourselves matter, and they're important. So we need to clean up our language, and we've talked about this. We need to clean up the word faith. We need to clean up the terms we use, and that these things are not semantics. They point to very substantive things.
Right.
And the other thing is, just on that, we need to stop obfuscating. We need to say exactly what it is that we mean. We need to stop bullshitting each other, and if we don't know something, we need to say, I don't know.
What do you mean by obfuscating? I'm just kidding. That was a joke. That was a joke. Yeah. Stop you right there.
You got me.
You got to tell Peter sometimes. Yeah. He's focused on the
He's message. Laser focused.
So it makes me crazy. The whole you've cleared something up for me. That's absolutely true. You know, I was molested by an uncle, that's pedophilia, not homosexuality.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, really.
And you know, I don't have the data. I can't give you the study that I read this. I can't tell you where I read this, but a quick Google search should be able to find this. The incidence of homosexuality, the percentage of pedophiles that are homosexual are far less, so trying to make sure I remember this correctly, articulate this correctly, than the percentage of people who are heterosexual who engage in pedophilic activity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and again, I don't have the data.
I understand
so
what
I'm,
you mean.
I'm hesitant to speak
sure,
to
sure.
that.
Sure, sure, sure. Wow. Yeah. One of the frustrating facts about being a, I hate survivor. I fucking hate that word survivor. It's just a bad choice of words. But having gone through the experience of being molested over a 9-year period by an uncle, and being honest and open about it and talking publicly about it is, one of the things that happens is people, they want to, confuse, my bisexuality with my having been molested. They want to intermingle those two things.
Well, we know that, and again, I'm talking out of my area and I'm very hesitant to do that, right. But we know that the percentage of males who have been molested, I believe the statistic is 25 times more likely to be a homosexual.
25 times more likely.
I think that's correct, but you can. I'd have to look at the study again.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Huh. So, but Steve.
I don't know.
Yay! Yeah.
Were you molested?
No, I don't know. No, no. I wasn't.
No one loved you.
Nobody.
Not
I'm
enough.
Sorry, Steve. I'm sorry. That's a drag.
So one more thing on that too. I think that the word pedophilia is not the best word to use when you talk about. You should say child rapist. You should say exactly what it is.
Yeah, that's what, you know, in the debate. I don't know if anybody else noticed this. I did not, and I'm going to forget the phrases, but in the debate, you never heard the word evolution from Nye. Hmm. He didn't talk evolution. He didn't use that phrase. He was very careful to not give the language power that the right likes to use so frequently to Ken Ham. The right, right? The right air quotes. Yeah. Ken Ham, had he heard the word evolution, we would have gotten at least a 5 to 10 minute dissertation on theory.
Yeah. Well, the other thing.
Oh no, he might have used he might have used evolution. He didn't use theory. That was the word he avoided very, very, very.
Oh yeah.
Smartly, and there was another one I'm forgetting, but you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean, it's when you're in a, when you're in a debate with these folks, using the right language so that they. It really frustrates me sometimes because the arguments aren't sound. You know, I'd really like to see them. I'd like to see the argument that it's just a theory argument. I'd like to see that just completely ridiculed away so that nobody ever thinks that it's the right thing to suggest.
Yeah, even thinking about that, you assume something. You just make a certain set of assumptions. What was the statistic? More than 25% of 26 or 27% of Americans think that the sun revolves around the earth.
Oh yeah.
So, is that true?
Yeah, there was. It's been
that's
on the internet.
Crazy.
It's been all over the internet.
I haven't read the actual study, and for that you need to know the number of people. You need to look at the methods before you could know that how reliable that data point is. But even if it's half wrong, so what could you possibly say? I mean, forget theory. Forget theory. They don't even know that the earth revolves around the sun. What good are you going to talk about theory? So you need to take a step back. And that's why helping people out of faith, helping to disabuse them of these specious ways of reasoning, these bad ways of thinking, it's about education.
Yeah.
These people have come to these conclusions because, for a lot of reasons, but it's really, at one level, it's a problem of education, and that can be addressed.
Right. We're not teaching critical thought in the grade schools.
I know we talked about that over breakfast. So Steve, you weren't there, but the basic idea is that when you talk about critical thinking, you're basically saying that somebody has to be wrong. And we're not educational administrators, teachers, et cetera. Yeah. They're not willing to say someone's wrong.
Yeah.
The culture of self-esteem, everyone's got to feel good. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Do you think it was just... Steve, you were taught... that there was a God, and you walked yourself out of it.
How?
And you've never had to...
Just reasoning.
You've just reasoning.
I just remember thinking...
Is it genetics?
I want proof.
Right, right.
If he showed up, you know, and was like, poof, here I am, I'd be like, okay.
Well,
like, that's a start. But like, a book, like that guy in Ken Ham just kept saying, yeah, I have proof, the Bible.
That was his, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Were you frustrated by each time he would do that? You and I were live tweeting this thing. Mm. Did it frustrate you at all that Nye didn't go, that's not proof? I mean, is that what you wanted?
But I knew that wouldn't have gotten him anywhere.
Right, right. Yeah, I think he handled it really well. Did you like what happened with Ken Nye?
I was completely and totally opposed to the debate.
You were.
Yeah. And I published something on the Dawkins Foundation website with James Lindsay about it. So, yeah, it Dawkins...
So, going in, you felt it was a bad idea. Is that true?
No, I thought it was a horrible idea.
Okay. Yeah. And now I'm going to ask you a question. It happened. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Okay. So you watched it.
Yeah.
Now the question is, do you still feel like that... was a horrible idea, but before you answer, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back to the premium version of the show for Peter Boghossian's answer to my question. That's it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to the premium subscribers very soon. I want to thank our guests, Peter Boghossian and Steve Agee. I also want to thank my co-host and producer Heather Henderson, and our video switcher Sam Kramer.
Sam Kramer is not the video switcher.
It's Cherry Teresa.
Yay!
Tune in next week when our guest will be
less awesome.
That's right, and we'll be talking about
this week's awesome guests.
Fuck you, next week's guests. This has been the free version of episode 146, another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson, our theme music courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Took a Swam. And our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Nuclear Winter.
He's deadly. Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. Where can they find you, Steve?
At Steve Agee on Twitter. And Steve Agee, all one word, is my username for most social
media. A-G-E-E. And you have to check out his vines. You're one of the reasons I got onto Vine, man. You made some great vines.
I don't Vine anymore.
You did. You made
oh, my God.
Vines. Where can they find you, Peter?
At Peter Boghossian. B-O-G-H-O-S-S-I-N.
Everyone has to think about how to spell it. Anyway, thank you very much. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.